there have been higher patient loads for PTs. And then also on top of that, the documentation requirements continue to go up. I've watched incredibly talented PTs who love the work walk away just because it just didn't feel sustainable anymore.
Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Kaiser. Our mission is to discuss practical insights and share knowledge on how to navigate the transformative technology of AI. It's important to understand how AI can be used safely and ethically while revolutionizing patient care, streamlining operations, and enhancing medical research. Today, we return to San Francisco Bay Area to catch up with Christina Rama, CEO and co-founder of Found, a clinical-led technology company advancing AI documentation for physical therapy and rehab. Welcome, Christina, to the Business of AI in Healthcare.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to have a conversation with you.
We have a lot to cover today. We're always interested in solving problems, so I'm sure we're going to get into the details of the problems that you're solving. We're going to cover a lot of things, but I think it's really important just to start off, I'd like to make sure that our audience is fully aware of what's involved in being a physical therapist. And I know your background is strong, so share your background, what your experiences have been, and try to get us up to speed on the different levels of PT that's out there today.
Yes, physical therapy is the part of healthcare that restores movement, lowers pain, makes sure people can function day to day. That could be work, that could be sports, that could be just self-care. And it started with people just doing it. The background is people started in the military, restoring function to people who lost function during injuries in war. And then it became its own profession over time. And it started with different levels of education and went to master's, and now it's now a doctorate. So the idea is that we can be a first-line musculoskeletal care professional. So people can come to us first if they have injuries. So we've been trained in how to diagnose, make sure that, you know, they're appropriate for physical therapy. Do we need to refer them out? Are there red flags that we see? And if there are, then obviously we send them off to the doctor. But our goal is to just restore function and get people moving better and avoid things like having to take narcotics or having more extensive imaging or surgeries.
Okay, so certainly there's a big value play there. To become a physical therapist, to be a DPT, that what kind of education does that require? You have an undergraduate degree, then you have to go on for several years?
Yeah, so you get your first four-year degree, and that can be in different things. Like mine is health science, but there's a lot of people also do like kinesiology or things like that. But it has to be pretty much healthcare related. And then you've got your graduate school, which is three more years on top of that. And in that, you're learning everything there is to know about PT, all the different facets. So you're not just learning orthopedics, you're also learning neuro, which can be brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, stroke rehab. You're learning how to treat somebody in a hospital, which has nuances with how does that work with if people have cardiac issues or any other thing that you can think of that might become a complication in the hospital. And then you also have pediatrics, where you're treating kids that are smaller and they may not respond to the same things that an adult would. So you have to learn how to do play therapy. So you have to learn all the little nuances of each facet. And then along with that, of course, you have to do research and you have a paper, you have a presentation. So there is still that aspect of it in order to graduate.
Is there an exam required, a national exam at all, to be licensed, so to speak?
Yes, there is a national exam. And then in each state, you also have to be licensed. So,
oh, no. Every state has their own.
Exactly. So you have, but you just have to take the national one once. But and then you have to renew your state license every, usually two years or so.
Are the state license transferable? Can you go from one state to the other, or do you have to go through a lot of further authorization?
There's a rigmarole. It depends on the state. Of course, where I am right now, California, there's a little more, but yes, you can use your license in another state as a basis to get licensed in another state, but there still is a lot of paperwork that you have to fill out. And sometimes there's a jurisprudence test that you have to take so that you know all the laws in that state, because each state has its own laws around how PT can be practiced. So they want you to know that.
Okay. So that's at the highest level. In the physical therapy world, if you go somewhere to get physical therapy, are you always going to see the highest level person, or are there other degrees of physical therapy that help you along the way during your visit?
Yeah, so there are different. There are people who graduated with their master's before the DPT came out, and they're still licensed. They're still great. And then there's also the physical therapy assistants that you'll see. But they usually are seen just for the day-to-day. They won't be seen for evaluations. They won't be seen for if there's a change in the plan of care. That's all from the main PT that sees the physical therapist still guide them.
Working with physicians and their relationships with nurses, that dynamic has changed over the years. You're really looking at a care team. You're looking at a continuity of care. And I'm sure that the PT world does that same thing. You have to integrate in with all the other practitioners to make sure that you're communicating and working together. So
yes, definitely.
Well, it's a good background. That's always important. You mentioned a lot of paperwork. I see it all the time. I don't care what part of healthcare you're in. It just seems like there's an enormous amount of paperwork. These electronic health records came out several years ago, and the idea there was to make it easier and better, but I think it really complicated it. It took a lot of time away from face-to-face patient care. We're trying to resolve that. In your world of PT, what is the paperwork burden? What's the traditional thing that you encounter? And why did you get into this space to deal with it differently?
Yeah. So there's definitely, like you mentioned, there's a problem. There's a gap between the rhythm of care and the shape of current documentation. Visits aren't linear. Current forms expect them to be. So there's a lot of box checking. There's, you follow the format. So subjective objective assessment plan, which is fine, but sometimes a session doesn't necessarily follow that. And that's where the after hours charting comes in, and the rework shows up with the current tools. Now, clinicians carry the nuance of the workflow, and that's the hard part in clinical AI. It's not the transcription, it's honoring the cadence of the visit. We test, we teach, we recheck, and sometimes we switch languages even to include family. So if the tool can't keep up with that rhythm, it turns into extra work. What we're doing is, when we're trying to get clinicians to help shape the design so that the system keeps pace, ties the plans to the findings, leaves the approval with the clinician, so that documentation becomes part of the care and not homework later, and the note is ready to be signed by the end of the visit.
Okay, let's go through that. You mentioned those, I think, subjective, objective, assessment, and plan. And that's an acronym for this great word called SOAP, S-O-A-P. And SOAP's been around, I guess, 50 years. It's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And so as a physical therapist, as you engage, this SOAP is required. It's required so that you can document everything, I assume. And so you can share that data with other physical therapists. You could probably share it with the payers, with the auditors and all that. Everybody wants to know what's being done. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's how you go about doing that?
Yeah, that helps everybody understand the structure of the note. And I think that's important to have the sections so that people know where to look for certain information. So in the subjective, you're getting the patient's history, what's going on, the current problem, what their goals are, anything that pertains to that type of things. In the objective, you're getting things like, how are they moving? What's their strength? Are there any tests that I did that were positive or negative that would help me diagnose this patient? What does their muscles feel? Was there anything else I noticed about how they're moving? And then the assessment and plan is, the assessment is, what did I see? What do I think is going to happen? Where am I going to go from there? And then the plan is, okay, what am I doing next?
Okay. Let's imagine there's no insurance anymore, that insurance went away, that we don't care about that. I'm not saying we should or we shouldn't, but let's just say it goes away. Independent of that, you still need this process in order to, you're dealing with the human being and you're dealing with their health journey. You're dealing with all the details. And if you don't keep record of all that stuff, you'll get lost. And it won't be a consistent continuity of care. So This is a really important part. It's no different than what a physician does with their notes that they put into electronic health record. It's just as important, I would think.
So yes.
I don't want to brand it. I don't want to brand it as this is only needed because of insurance, because that's not true.
That's not true. No, I feel like some of it might be different. There might be less focus on certain aspects of it. And if the insurance wasn't involved, because obviously compliance and making sure that we can bill is a big part of SOAP notes, which is good, but not necessarily what a PT needs to know each visit to treat well. So there might be a little bit of change here and there if insurance wasn't involved. But I do think that having that structure is important so people know exactly where to look and find exactly what they need quickly.
So the medical necessity, that's always a requirement. Track of the progress is always really important.
Yes.
And justifying when do you quit or what else do you need? You have to figure all that stuff out. So all that makes great sense. So when it comes down to your business, you guys have embraced this problem. And the problem, if you had to define the problem that most physical therapists run into, is it the paperwork?
I would say that's probably the number one burnout for most PTs right now. Yeah. There, because reimbursement rates have been declining, there have been higher patient loads for PTs. And then also on top of that, the documentation requirements continue to go up. What they want us to document is just each year, it has to be more and more. I've watched incredibly talented PTs who love the work walk away just because it just didn't feel sustainable anymore.
Yeah.
And that kind of was our cue to do something. We want something that actually supports therapists, not just in billing or compliance, like we said, the part that sometimes gets overlooked, documenting while staying fully present with the patient.
I think the same stories apply to physicians. There's burnout all the way across the board. There's a lot of things going that way. Well, let's talk about AI. This is the business of AI in healthcare. So AI, you've been in business, I guess, since 25, about 3 years now. And coincidentally, ChatGPT came out at the very end of 2022. Did you have an aha moment or did something just jump at you saying this thing called AI might be useful in what we're doing? Tell us your story there.
Yeah. So like I said, I had lived this documentation issue and my husband actually works in AI. Okay. He was watching me just burning out. And there has to be a better way. So together we came up with this idea, like, can we make a note that the PT doesn't have to interact with too much? Something that can be done by the end of the session, something that assists the PT so that this documentation is not burning people out. And so our answer was notation. And we created a PT-focused clinician-controlled documentation assistant that runs along any EMR. And we have our own PT-specific model. And right now, it drafts a note in real time. So basically, you just review, sign, and then you are done by the end of the session.
Okay, so let's see if we can't do a fake day in the life of, okay? So, oh boy, my back really hurts. And I had to go see a neurologist, and he did a laminectomy and made a tiny little incision. He says, you're going to be fine. But no, man, this thing really hurts. And they sent me off to a physical therapist. I show up at your door and I'm a new patient. How does AI engage with me? How do you engage with me using these new tools? Can you step us through a little scenario of the things that are going to take place differently, like the new school versus the old school?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll come in. Obviously, I'll introduce myself as normal. But the idea is that I just fire up the platform. And it just sits there and I will be engaging with you directly. I'll have a normal conversation and it will just start picking up anything that's relevant and start plugging it into the subjective section. So I get your full history. It'll click off all these little chips that kind of pop up so that I make sure that I'm covering everything and I'm asking all the right questions. But the idea is that I'm just having a normal conversation with you and it's writing the note while I'm doing that.
What is the platform? You mentioned the platform. What is the platform?
The platform is called Notation.
And what does it look like? Is it a phone? Is it a box? Is it a computer? What is it?
No. So it's an application that sits next to the EMR on a browser tab.
Okay.
So you just basically press start Everything, it doesn't start until the PT and the patient have said, I'm okay with this. Right. It will never just start. Okay. And then once it does that, it will start recording the conversation. Now, the other thing that's unique to us is that if you have somebody who speaks another language, you can click that language and it will actually do both and translate it into English for you.
Real time.
Yeah, in real time.
Very.
Yeah. And then once you get to the objective section, you know, that section is a little more difficult for PT because there's a lot of movement there. So we've tried to make it as simple as possible. We've got call outs that you can do while you're with the patients. So you can call it range of motion tests, and then you can type it in if you like. You can do shorthand because there's a lot of shorthand in any healthcare setting. So you can just quickly type in something that you would say shorthand and it'll make it into a full sentence for you. So then that part gets a little bit easier too. And then for the assessment and plan, you just generate it and it will generate the assessment and plan based on what it gets from your subjective and objective. And then the clinician stays in control the whole time. So they can just review anything and make edits if they need to and then sign off. But the idea is that you don't have to make too many edits either. But the edits are important because that's what keeps the clinician in control. That's what keeps the note accurate. And that also is what helps train our platform to get better and better.
Okay. So there's some training involved on the platform as well. Is there any use of video or cameras to do any of this assessment?
Yeah, so we actually are working on that piece, but that is a tricky piece because we're trying to figure out ways to use a fairly cheap camera that can capture 3D movement. So we do have a team that is working on computer vision. It's not currently implemented, but it is on our roadmap so that it can be on during the session and it can, the idea is that it will capture range of motion, functional movement, and home exercise program so that it can be, because most patients like to see themselves doing the movements.
Right.
So we capture that and we can send that to them as part of their home exercise program.
So as a physical therapist and you're using the set of tools, the word trust, do I really trust this thing? How hard is it to start to build up that trust factor, knowing that there's no maybe on it? And people are starting to use different types of generative AI to write poetry and do reports, and they're getting more sophisticated,
yeah,
doing all types of accounting information and reporting and things like that. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, you go, this works. This works really good. As a matter of fact, I heard somebody who is very sophisticated say, one of these gurus say that mm-hmm. we don't call it AI anymore when it works. It just works. We don't have to call it AI anymore. This just works. And you develop this sense of trust that mm-hmm. this is working. This is letting me do my job better. There's no hallucinations. There's no fake information or bad directions. Is that the case where you're at right now with this type of technology? Is it trustworthy?
Yeah, it's trustworthy. We have some guardrails in place. We make sure that we have a PT-specific large language model that we have trained. So we put some guardrails. We make sure that it keeps in scope. So it only populates the fields that the clinic actually charts or talks about. The context means there's suggestions that appear usually in the assessment or plan. They're never auto-committed, right? You always have the chance to edit it, change it. So yeah, there might be some things in it that you might not word the same way, or you may have made some different choices just because you in particular to do things a certain way or a different way than maybe some other PTs do. But the idea is that it's not putting in information that you didn't say. We make sure that our platform is doing that. And I think that does help with building trust. So I feel like the more people use it, the more they'll trust it. And the idea also, what we mentioned, is it will learn as you make edits. So I think that part of the training, as well as just the background that we put into it, will make it better and more trustworthy over time for each clinician, because it will start to tailor more to what they like.
Okay. You know, that's an important factor there, realizing that you can be in charge the reports that are generated, the information that is shared, when people get a report today from a physical therapist that was done manually, that you did at night after hours, you're sitting there documenting everything, I can imagine those reports have a lot of variability in them, but they're probably pretty consistent. They have to be consistent depending on who the target recipient is, if it's insurance or if it's whatever. Right. You probably have certain guidelines like that. When AI is used to do this, does this become kind of like a generic report? And someone might look at that and go, oh, this was AI generated. This isn't the real deal. Is there skepticism based off what, or is there still uniqueness there in the quality of the report that's generated?
I think there's still some uniqueness in the quality of the report that's created, because it does take the little different bits that the patient, that might be different for each patient. Like, what is the patient's goals different? Are their function beforehand different? So it's, none of them are exactly the same, because each patient has a different starting point, different goals, and different needs. So I think while there may be some things that seem similar, there are probably things that would be similar even if a PT was writing it, but then it also does have the uniqueness built in as well.
So what's the relationship with the electronic health record? You said that's another tab that's open in a browser. Do these guys buddies, do they talk to each other? Are they very compatible? How does all that work? That seems like a very complicated integration.
So yeah, we've created a plugin that can, if we know what your EMR is, then once our platform has the whole note, you can press the button and it will take all of the information that the note created and put it into the EMR's note. Okay. So it's complicated, but at the same time, we've tried to make it as easy to integrate with as possible so that there's not a lot of extra copy and pasting.
Is that pretty much a necessity? Do you always have to put stuff into the electronic medical record? Is that all
yes.
required?
Yeah, because we're not an EMR ourselves. We are meant to be working alongside the EMR. It does need to be put back into their EMR in order for them to go through the rest of the process and go to the billing.
Okay. You know, I think the healthcare system is slow to change in some respects. And as people, we're pretty slow to change. And that's just the opposite of what's happening with AI. AI is happening incredibly fast. So just looking back on your timeline, 2023, 2024, mm-hmm. 2025, look at all that's changed here in just a few years. As a matter of fact, it's in the last few months the things that have changed with AI, the technology and the tools. So your technology team, they've got to keep up with all of this stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. There has been a lot of change. But I think that's a good thing, because anything new that comes out, we can use it to our advantage and make our platform even better. Like the newest thing that we put in, just being able to switch between languages. Like, that was something we did really recently based on PT's feedback. And then, of course, computer vision is progressing quickly. So that we're hoping also to use to our advantage and allow another layer to our platform to help physical therapists finish their notes quicker and not have to interact with the platform quite as much.
So how do you address change to the marketplace? I don't know how many physical therapists are out there, but I'm going to say there's 100,000 or more.
There's a lot. I don't know the actual number either.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there. How do you go about getting your audience, your marketplace, to engage with this? Is there resistance or is it welcome? Is it confusing? Are there lots of choices? This is a challenge for any change element. Anytime you go out to redefine the marketplace, there's always someone that's going, I'm an early adopter, or no, that's not for me. What's your approach to getting this word out here?
Yeah, so you're right. In all those, there are becoming more and more choices. Yes, there is resistance or hesitation, I guess is a better way to phrase it. So we're going about it as trying to make it as easy to use as possible. We don't even need patient data for our platform to work, really. We don't need to know their birthday. We don't need to know their name. The only thing we really need to know is their diagnosis, and they can start. So we're trying to take as much patient information out as possible so they don't have to worry about that piece. Even though we are HIPAA compliant and we're working towards our SOC 2 certification as well, we know there's always a hesitation with sharing patient information. So we try to take that piece out. And the next bit is, yeah, there's a lot of options. So it does make it a little harder to break into because there are some more popular EMRs that have built on their own AI. But I think we are trying to show that we're different. We are more comprehensive. We make it so that you really don't have to do those edits at the end. We are making ours more of just more than a scribe. We are actually a documentation assistant. So our platform actually understands what information is going into it and helps you organize it. Whereas there's a lot of platforms that maybe don't do that as much.
I think the subject matter expertise that you bring to the table, everybody in your organization, they have experience in physical therapy.
A lot of the key players do, for sure. Yeah, so there's me and then our UI UX leader. She has a background in physical therapy and that as well. So she understands the flow, what a PT session actually looks like. So when she created our platform, she did that with that in mind. And I think that also maybe sets ours apart too, because we're not tied to an EMR. So we don't have to follow a flow of an EMR where there's maybe some boxes that are checked. So it really was meant to flow as much as a normal session would. And then at the end, it will create all the things that you need to put into an EMR, but you don't necessarily have to follow that flow. It will capture what it needs just by you asking questions and looking at what you would normally look at.
Sure. Let's go back a few years. Back when you were doing your studies, you were a student. This concept wasn't even valid back then. They weren't teaching people that this is a new and better way. Is that being indoctrinated now in the new educational process? I would think this would be a key thing to get people early on to understand there's a better way of doing things and that the whole workflow would be better defined using some of these tools. Or are they sticking with the old school way? The same thing happens in medical school. Are the doctors being educated on the latest technologies, et cetera? Or are they still sticking to the old ways? So what's your thoughts on that?
I think that there probably is some mention of it, but I imagine that they're still teaching the old way as well because it's still there and a lot of places are still using it. But there is some education on what is up and coming. But I'm sure over the next few years that'll become more and more prominent as more people are actually using it. Because I think at this point, and especially in the physical therapy world, this use of AI is something that really has just started this year, where some of the platforms, including us, have come out with things that can help them. And I think for most PTs, it is an exciting thing. And especially for new grads, it can maybe take some of the pressure of documentation out of it, because it can take a new grad a lot longer to write a note than somebody who's been doing it for a long time because they have to think about all the different things that an insurance company wants from them. So this can give them a little bit of guidance and maybe speed that up. So I think for new PTs and the companies that they work for, this could be a good tool.
No one's fearing their job that AI is going to take over the physical therapist job?
There probably is some worry about that. I guess the question is, will AI de-skill clinicians or take their job? And I would say, yeah, maybe AI could if you let it. But I think that's more on the PTs. The safeguard isn't magic. It's practice. Yes, the model should learn from living best practices, a library of it, and edits, like I said. But I think that tools don't necessarily de-skill people or take their jobs. Habits do. So I think the important thing along with this is that we train clinicians how to use AI, not just that it exists. The mindset is simple. A draft is provisional, right? So always do a quick pass, make it yours and then sign. I think it's important that along with this, we teach PTs how to stay in control and make sure that they're always the author of it. Because I don't think any tool out there should replace a clinician's expertise and what they see. It's really just there to be an assistant.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Recently, Christy and I saw a report on a new massage therapist, and it's all done robotically.
Yep.
It was written up in the Wall Street Journal, and the journalist basically went and had a real massage done, $200 for the hour. And then they went to this machine. It was well documented too. They made a video out of it and everything. And the machine was $70 an hour. Uh-huh. And it played music for you. And it had all those touch points and things like that for a massage. And they gave it a score, maybe 5 or 6 compared to the human touch.
Yeah.
But what it was saying was, is that look out, things are forthcoming. They've got AI things that make pizzas now. So you don't have to make pizzas anymore. But I think anywhere in the healthcare world, we're looking at these tools as being supplemental and additional to our skills and what we do. And I think that's the important thing.
Yeah. And I think in a profession like physical therapy that's really hands-on and movement-based, it'd be really hard for AI to take over something like that. The PT kind of needs to be present, needs to have hands-on. And that's the kind of thing that I think will be hard to change and hard to be a part of.
I'd like to see a world where PT is more prevalent, it's more affordable, it's better defined. The benefits are obvious, it's crystal clear. The benefits of people that follow a physical therapy protocol and get treatment as such has remarkable results. And I think that making this available, improving like you guys are doing here. Tell me about the name of the company. How did you come up with Found as the name of the company?
Yeah, I know. It actually came because the premise of the company started out a little bit different than what it is today. So initially, we were working on a company where PTs could found their own company. And then we realized that the biggest issue is actually documentation. So we pivoted into that as well. So I think that's where Found came from. And then Notation being the product came from us moving into documentation.
It's a great name. It's a great name. And I got to say, really glad today we've had Christina Rama, CEO and co-founder of Found. I love the name. It's been such a great time to spend some educational time with you today and learn more about what's going on in the world of physical therapy. So thank you, Christina.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or want to hear from a specific guest, contact us at gopi.com. That's G-O-P-I, gopi.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes.